Inside the Cross Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Inside the Cross Unit Talk series on Google Hangout. John Gelati here. This week we were joined by multiple guests, but this installment was the Denver Pioneers Attack Unit. Wesley Berg, Eric Law, Colin Scott, and Gordy Kerber joined us on Thursday, the day after they arrived in Philadelphia for the NCAA Final Four Championship Weekend, which kicks off Saturday 2:30 with the Cornell-Duke game, followed by Syracuse-Denver in the second game at 5 o'clock, both games live on ESPN2. We'll have full coverage on InsideTheCross.com and ILGear.com, and we're excited to get the Pioneers Attack Unit with us. They came off a stunning victory over North Carolina in the NCAA quarterfinals last week in Indianapolis when they came back from a 5-goal deficit to win and advance to their second Final Four in 3 years. This unit has been productive all year long. Gordy has been a little bit injured, so kind of came in and out. Collins worked in as a fourth guy and had two big goals last week against North Carolina. So a very high-scoring unit, Wesley and Eric, putting up about 150 points combined on the year almost. So we're excited to see what these guys can do in the Final Four. Got some great stuff out of them heading into the Syracuse game and kind of how they've come together as an offense, especially what Matt Brown has done for them. Some great tips for kids, some of the key things to look for in the Final Four this year, some little bit of Canadian jargon out of Wesley, and some great stuff overall. So we appreciate the time from the Denver Pioneers. This was the audio pulled from a Google Hangout that we did on Inside the Cross's Google Plus page, which you should check out. We're over 82,000 followers already this spring, and we're excited about that, so please be sure to follow us there. You can also see an archived version of the video on Inside the Cross's YouTube channel, which you can also subscribe to. This is the podcast version, so you can find it on iTunes if you search Inside the Cross. You can also find it at insidethecross.com/podcast. We encourage you to share these via social media. You can tweet at me, at Jay Gelati. You can also email me, at Jay Gelati. So, big weekend ahead. We are excited to head up to Philadelphia, check out everything there is to see at the Lincoln Financial Field. We'll have gear coverage in the parking lot. We'll have coverage at all the games. We'll have ILWomen.com up in Villanova for the women's championship games. We'll also be all over the D2 and D3 finals on Sunday, and then we'll be back, obviously, on Monday, Memorial Day, to celebrate the latest national champion. So please, if you're in the area, go to the games, buy tickets, show up, tailgate, walk in the stadium, cheer for your favorite team. If you're not and you can't make it, please be sure to watch on ESPN2 and then on Monday on ESPN. And as always, follow along on InsideTheCross.com, ILGear.com, and ILWomen.com. Follow us on Twitter at @Inside_Lacrosse. And check us out on Facebook as well. And also be sure to check out our thriving Instagram presences at IL_photos and at IL_gear. Looking forward to a great weekend, and we appreciate, again, the time of the Denver Pioneers. Inside the Cross Unit Talk on Google Hangout. This time we are joined by a very special guest, the Denver Pioneers Attack Unit from Philadelphia. Why don't you guys kind of go down the line and introduce yourselves to our loyal fans out there.
Eric Lobb, senior from Centennial, Colorado.
Gordy Kerber, freshman from Baltimore, Maryland.
Colin Scott, I am a senior from Ridgefield, Connecticut.
Wesley Berg, sophomore from Quinlan, British Columbia.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us. You guys just got off the practice field, I know, out of Drexel. And now, Wesley, we were waiting a couple of minutes for you there. There's got to be some sort of punishment. I don't know. Maybe you need to, like, tell us a joke or something, or...
I didn't get the text message. I had to come all the way down from the 7th floor and go past this one and then come back out. So.
All right, well, fair enough. I figured we had to point that out. But why don't we start off and just kind of give us some insight into where you guys are right now and heading into your second Final Four in 3 years. What's kind of the feeling amongst the team right now?
I think we're just excited. It's been our goal all year to get back to the Final Four weekend and to be able to achieve that after a pretty crazy game last weekend. I think everyone's excited, and we're going to be ready to go on Saturday.
Yeah, well, why don't we start with that game? I mean, obviously, you know, I would imagine most of the people watching this saw it. It was an insane game, the biggest, you know, comeback in NCAA quarterfinal history. What was kind of the mindset like? Why don't we start with maybe after that first quarter of that huddle? What were you guys talking about? What was the feeling? What was the vibe there?
I think we just had to kind of keep our composure. We knew that, you know, we weren't playing terribly offensively. We had a couple posts. And then it kind of just went down the other end, and they scored, and we started to break down a little bit and ended up going down by six. But I think, you know, we realized that we could, you know, if we just kept playing the way we were playing, they'd eventually start going in.
What did Coach Tierney say after that first corner?
I mean, he didn't say a lot, really. He just kind of said that, you know, keep doing what we do. Don't change the way we're playing, no matter how far down we get. Just keep your composure and just, you know, play Denver Pioneers lacrosse.
Yeah, definitely. Going off what Colin said, he said, you know, keep playing our game. You know, they're going to fall. We got to...
All right, we are back. I got the tail end of that. So what was the key then in that second half when you guys did start coming back, especially offensively? I mean, obviously you hit some pipes in that first half, but, you know, was there a difference in how you guys played and how things started working so well in the second half?
I think it was mostly just in that first quarter and first half, we weren't playing as fast as we normally do. I think we were a little bit more timid and gripping the stick a little bit too tight and everybody not wanting to make a mistake, but I think we finally just got back to playing how we always do and just started moving the ball, started moving our feet a little bit more, and once we started getting firing and, you know, once a couple go, then we started to get the confidence rolling, and our defense made a couple big stops, and it was just kind of one after another after that.
Yeah, I think when we came in the third quarter, we played like we had nothing to lose. We were already down by six twice, and then we figured, you know, just start chipping away at it. And even when we lost the ball or whatever, our defense would do a great job stopping it. We had confidence in them that we'd get the ball back.
Yeah, defense played amazing down the stretch there against a pretty talented attack unit. I mean, for you guys offensively, you know, it seemed like Eric Adamson ended up being, you know, was kind of quiet all game and then, you know, hits the shot to tie it and then takes the shot to win it that ultimately went to Eric Law. Eric Law, why don't you just kind of tell us what you were seeing in that final play?
Well, we drew up a play for Eric Adamson. He had the hot hand. Like you said, he had the game tire, and we feel like he was having a great matchup, and he's a matchup worry for everyone out there trying to cover him. And he got a nice isolation on a short stick, went hard to the goal. I think there was a stall warning on too, so I think he knew that he had to go to the goal, and he put one on Cage, and I literally was just in the right place at the right time, picked it up, and just threw in the goal as fast as I could.
Nice, but you knew to be up above GLE versus staying behind. Like, it seemed like you made a nice savvy play there to be in the right position to get that rebound. Is that something that you've gone over in practice, or was that just more like natural instinct to be there for that rebound?
I think mostly just natural instinct. I think I saw him driving under, so I saw my defenseman turn his head, so I actually tried to get in front of the goal to see if maybe he could throw me a backside pass if he had the opportunity, but he took a great shot, goalie made a great save, and like I said before, right place, right time.
Now, talk about how this attack team has kind of come together on the year. You know, Gordy, you were hurt for a little bit, but you know, you guys have put up a ton of points and seemingly, you know, obviously one of the best offenses in the country. Can you kind of tell us how the chemistry's come together amongst you guys?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been great, you know, starting the fall, you know, Eric and Bergie and Colin have all kind of taken me under their wings and helped me really transition to the college game. And, you know, we've got a good four-man rotation going right now and, you know, just keep doing what we're doing and hope for the best results.
So talking about the unit, it's interesting looking at you four guys. You're from, you know, four of the, you know, most opposite ends of the country when you look at Connecticut, Colorado, BC, Baltimore. Has there been, like, a clashing of styles there? And like, is there a difference in how you guys play? Like, how is that? Has that been something you guys have thought about at all?
I don't think so. I practice the way our offense and sort of all of our different styles kind of gel together. So I mean, Eli's obviously more of a X guy. You can beat his guy behind the net, and the rest of us more of a ball kind of cutters that feed off him or try to open our outside shots up.
Can you give us a little bit insight into the personalities amongst you four? Who's what's kind of the personalities among you guys?
I'm definitely the funniest.
Sorry, you want to take that one again? Somebody said they were the funniest, but I couldn't tell who it was.
that was me.
Mom was saying he was the funniest looking. Yeah, funniest. The rest of us are pretty average looking.
Yeah, yeah, Bergie and Eli are our characters, I'd say.
I always say Bergie's probably the guy that's never going to be showing up to practice early. He's going to cut it right to the last minute, just like he did at the interview.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm pretty punctual.
Consistency is important. I'm glad you didn't treat inside lacrosse any differently. Then just kind of give us a little bit of taste of the week. I mean, lacrosse players dream of having this week of preparation before the Final Four, going to, you know, Philadelphia, wherever it may be, playing in an NFL stadium, traveling. You guys, I don't know how you got out here, if it was a private plane or what, but what's the week been like for you guys since coming back from Indy on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing for us, we're just trying to keep the week like it's any other week, like it's a regular game. You know, if we go into it thinking it's just, Final Four, although it's a big game, then we don't want to change the way we play and our normal routines. So we treated the week kind of like every other week, tried not to change anything, practice same time, same exact things we do, nothing new. And then having a nice charter was just a plus.
Yeah, how's that charter? A lot of people, I would imagine, listening to this have never been on a charter flight. Anything stand out from that luxurious ride you guys had out here?
I would say the snacks. They come around every couple of minutes asking if you're all right, you know, the drinks and snacks. So I think that was a definite plus.
A lot of space. You get down low. I like to sleep, so I got to sprawl out of bed on there.
Nice. Well, good to hear. Hopefully, one day I will get to experience something like that. But, a couple of Twitter questions coming in. This is a good one for Eric. We noticed you've had an array of celebrations after you score goals. How long do you practice these during the week? This is from,
I'm a straight pure emotion celebration guy. No thoughts are going through the head. It just kind of happens. And then sometimes you realize what you did and you feel like an idiot. But hey, sometimes that's just what happens.
Gordy's probably got the best practice celebrity.
I don't know.
He loves a little more of a spur of the moment kind of guy.
Gotcha. Well, for the other guys, you mentioned the word celly. I feel like that's a Canadian thing. Maybe it's not a Canadian thing, but I'm fascinated by Canadian jargon. For the other three guys, have you picked up anything interesting out of Wesley and kind of the lingo from Canada?
Well, my roommate's, Kim Flint's my roommate, so I try and stay as far away from the Canadian lingo as possible. So I make it a point to not become Canadian.
It's kind of funny, you say, every once in a while I'll catch myself, I'll be just in a normal conversation, and I'll say A at the end of it, and I gotta remind myself I'm from Colorado, I'm not supposed to have an accent.
Yeah, this week actually, Bergie was talking about a stick, and he said it tightened up like a chin strap, and it's just little sayings like that, and, you know, we were talking about, like, Jamie Fouts, our goalie, and Jeremy Noble was saying how he's a tendy, like a goaltender, I guess. And so it's just the funny little sayings that they say every day in practice.
Nice, nice. Well, it's a totally different language sometimes. I love it. Another good question from Hayes Nash. This is said for Wesley, but I think we can apply it to everybody. What's your best advice for an attackman? Just advice for maybe some kids out there picking up the sport or, you know, playing attack, just a tip for them to get a little bit better.
Well, for any lacrosse player, I think, you can't have your stick in your hand enough. That's like the biggest thing is passing and catching at full speed up. A lot of people kind of overlook the fact that you can do whatever kind of training you want for lacrosse, but it's not as much of an athlete sport like football or something like that as it is kind of a skill sport. So I would just say, like, even if you're not practicing, just throw the ball around the house or whatever, even though your parents might not like that too much in the backyard and whatnot. Anytime you can, obviously I haven't practiced with both hands too much, but that's one thing that kids growing up should do because it just adds another element to your game.
Any other tips for the other guys coming out of different areas?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of cliche, but wall ball I think is one of the biggest things that, has helped me a lot. And, it's just one of those fundamental things. It's, so easy to do. Just hit a brick wall, left-handed and right-handed, and, really gets your stick sharp.
I think also nowadays with the amount that lacrosse is actually on TV now, with the great job that ESPN and ESPNU do of showing the game, it's just being a student of the game, and no matter what game is on, always watching and always learning different things that you can do as an attackman, just watching the game, not just for the cool goals, but notice what people are doing off ball and just really be a student of the game and increase your lacrosse IQ at all times.
Uh-oh, somebody there?
Yeah.
Give us some insight into Coach Brown. I think a lot, you know, he might not get as much credit as he deserves for some of the play calling and just work that he's done with your offense. I know Coach Tierney mentions him a lot in press conferences, and deservedly so. But what is he like as an offensive coach, and what have you guys kind of learned from him over the year or the couple of years?
We learned a lot about how to exploit defenses, like not just like their weaknesses, but their kind of tendencies, you know, what they might do in certain offensive sets. So just kind of, you know, not just running the play for the sake of running the play like X's and O's, but kind of just taking what the defense gives you off of the start of a play.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, so we'll have a couple plays here and there, but mainly we just run like a bunch of sets. So, you know, if you dodge and we run a play and it doesn't work, I think the biggest thing he's told us is just to keep playing. You know, just if something doesn't work, keep going hard. Don't stop. Don't stop moving your feet. Don't stop moving the ball, because the more you wear down a defense, the more things are going to open up. I think that's one of the biggest things that he's taught us and learned over the years.
But I also think that he just has such a passion for the game of lacrosse and a passion for the University of Denver, since he is an alumni of the team himself. He has such a passion and drive, and shows up every day with this energy that just carries over to everyone on the team. And you see him getting so into it that it makes you want to go out there and give it that much more.
What's the response been like from the Denver community this week after after the big win on Sunday?
Oh, it's been great. Everyone's excited. You know, we have teachers who don't normally watch our season games, but you know, you step into class and they're saying congratulations all around campus. People, it's, you know, other athletes and other people on campus, you know, see they say congratulations. So they're all excited for us and wishing us the best of luck.
Nice. Yeah, we got a chance to hang out there for the Women's Sampler Mile High Classic, and I was kind of blown away by the campus and just kind of how into the university everybody seemed. We went to the hockey game that Friday night and had a blast, and it was really cool to see everybody kind of so into, you know, the sports teams out there. It seemed really cool, so you guys must have had a great response. Another Twitter question that we'll throw at you from the same guy, D12 Pro Athlete. We heard Coach T is allowing playoff beers. Eric, why did you choose not to partake in this?
That's great. Who's that Twitter handle? I'm going to have to ask someone a personal question after now. I'm trying. I'm doing my best, but obviously, like you say, can't really see it, but it's getting there.
But everybody's straight beard, no mustaches, or are we mixing it up a little bit?
Yeah, you can't really see mine. I had to dress for a minute, actually, this week, but we got some mustaches going. We got some good ones, like Walter Rooney. He's got a nice little stash going, and
French potential stash.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, actually, at first we weren't allowed to play that beard, so Coach Tierney told everyone to go home and shave them. And if they weren't shaved by the time we got to the bus, he would shave them for us. And about 20 minutes after he told us that, we got another text from Coach Brown saying playoff beards are allowed, and that was mid-shave for about half the guys in the team. So a couple guys had to judge for a minute, like we said.
Do we know what led to the flip-flop on that one?
I think it was the Canadian presence.
Brownie's influence. Me and Jerry were getting on him about it, but I think Brownie had a lot more pull than us.
Nice, nice. And now, when you guys first walked in, somebody was talking about transferring a pocket. I couldn't tell who it was, but who were kind of the stick doctors on the team?
Jackie Pruitt.
Jack Pruitt. He's a freshman midfielder slash long stick middie, and you know, he does a great job.
Do you guys string your own sticks, or do you rely on him, or is it a little bit of both?
I string my own.
Yeah, I
string my own.
Yeah. I let Jack do the work.
Our attack,
he's the man I go to.
Yeah.
Our attack when usually more finicky, I feel like, doing your own pockets versus relying on somebody else.
Yeah. Especially when Denver's so dry, you kind of, when you come out here, you got to make some adjustments to your big bags out of it.
I mean, a lot of people talk about the thin air at the Mile High City. What is your guys' take on that? Was it an adjustment when you first got there, and is that a factor still, or how does that work? You get adjusted to it?
I'd say you get adjusted to it pretty quickly. Within, you know, a week and a half, you know, you're breathing all right out there, so it's not too bad.
Gotcha.
It's good for opposing teams coming in, though. I think they
worry.
They start to feel it in the first couple minutes of the game, especially in the fourth quarter.
Gotcha. So give us the keys. I mean, you know, obviously without giving anything away, but what are you looking at coming into this game against Syracuse? They've been so good defensively all year, it seems like. What do you think is going to be the key to coming out Saturday victoriously?
I think just playing our style of cross, keeping the ball moving as fast as we can, people movement, dominating face-off pass as much as we can with Chase Carrero, and really just going head-to-head with a team that is unbelievably coached in Desco, and their team that is number one for a reason. They're the number one ranked team in the tournament for a reason, and we're going to have our hands full, and it's going to take a full team effort and a full 60 minutes to get the job done.
Gotcha. Talk about, I mean, maybe you can give us some insight into the goalies, Jamie and Ryan, since, you know, obviously in practice you guys go against those guys every day. Not every team basically has two starters to play against. In practice, I would imagine that could be a good thing for you guys as attackmen to get better. But what have you seen in them, and how big have they been for you guys this year playing together?
They've been huge for us, both of them. So I mean, I think personally the biggest factor between having two goalies as talented as them is, you know, one's a lefty and one's a righty. So at least in practice, you know, you think you're going against Ryan, who's a lefty, and then next thing you know, Faust is in net, and he's got the other hand, so you're shooting right into his stick. I think that's at least one of the biggest things that I struggle with sometimes.
Yeah, having both lefty and righty is huge, especially going into a game where we played the Albany and North Carolina both had lefties, and now Syracuse has a righty, so you get pretty used to shooting on Ryan before the last two games, and now Jamie for the Syracuse game.
Nice. Another good question from Twitter. As a little kid starting out to play lacrosse, after a defenseman takes the ball away, how should you react? What do you guys think there?
Just the second ball goes on the ground, find it and fight for it. The play's not over. Play's not over until the whistle blows. So defenseman takes the ball from you, you know, work as hard as you can to get it back without fouling them, and then just take it one play at a time.
Yeah, don't react like Eli does in practice. When he takes the ball, he likes to chop people's ankles in the game. That'll cost you a couple minutes of penalties.
Yeah, I would just say have a short memory. You know, it's all about the next play. It happens to everyone. You know, gets the ball taken away from them, and it's all about the next play and how you react to that one.
And probably the same question, but you guys, hitting six pipes or whatever it was in the first half on Sunday, was that something that was kind of in your head, or was that more of a confidence builder that, hey, you're close and you know the shots are going to fall eventually, or is it more frustrating that, man, we just can't get one, you know, we're seemingly getting them by the goalie, but they're not going in? What was kind of the reaction to that?
It's obviously frustrating. Like, to start off, you'd rather put the ball on the net than in the off the post and out or whatever, but if you look at the positives, that we know we were getting the shots that we wanted, the opportunities that we wanted, and we knew that, like, all season they'd eventually start falling for us.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me see if we got any other questions from Twitter that are appropriate. And here's a good one. Eating healthy. What are some of the best, like, what is kind of your pregame meal routine going down the line? Might be a little different.
Oh, pregame, night before, it's always got to be chicken parm.
Yeah.
We always
have
nice chicken parm meal, yeah. Pregame.
Yeah. For breakfast, I like to eat porridge and oatmeal, which is a hard time. But I like oatmeal and a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of the same. I'm a bowl of cereal guy and, some eggs.
About the same, bowl of cereal, maybe a bagel or so. I'm not a big eater before games, but after games I like to cram in some food.
What, is porridge a real thing?
Yeah, that's oatmeal.
That's oatmeal? There you go.
Cultural differences.
But. There's Canadian lingo for you. That's what I was looking for. I learned something today. This is awesome. Give us a little bit of a sense of the music taste on your team. Kind of who's the DJ? What are you guys listening to? What are the go-to songs at this point in the season?
Harrison Archer is definitely the DJ. Every week he's got a new song in the locker room. I'm terrible with music, so I never know the name of it, but sounds good.
Yeah. He likes to put on techno or house music before games, and then after, usually have a kind of a country mix, I guess.
AC/DC is a big
Right before the Watchdogs are go to before their go out song.
Nice. Well, you guys have, being in Denver, you do have to travel a lot. Are there any, like, key things that you guys do on road trips to kind of remain focused and make the most out of some of that downtime?
I like to sleep a lot, so if we don't have anything, I don't have any homework usually, so I take a nice long nap, which is what I would have been doing right now. My roommate's Jeremy, and he's up there, so when I come back, he'll probably be up cold, so.
Nice. Well, we all appreciate you giving up that nap for us. That's a big sacrifice. Well, I appreciate it, guys. We're running up close to a half an hour here, so maybe just kind of one last thing from each of you. One key to coming out Monday victorious and winning that national championship.
Well, I think, for me, I'd say the biggest thing is to not get overwhelmed with all the distractions and, on a big stage, just keep playing our game, don't change what we do, and try and stay focused on our end goal.
Yeah, I would say, we need to take care of Cuse first, before we start thinking about Monday. And, it's all about the team that's mentally tough and, does the little things right this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's just not changing who we are now. We've come this way being us and just stay being us this weekend and start to Syracuse, and we're going to fight and do everything we can to come out victorious in that game.
Leslie, you got anything for us?
Kind of similar to what Colin was saying, just even keel. I mean, like last week we went down by 6, but we just kept positive. This week we could go down by a couple or maybe go up by a lot, and we can't get overconfident or too down. Just stay at an even keel and play the way that we know how to.
And get plenty of sleep too, right?
Absolutely.
Nice. Well, we appreciate it, guys. Denver Pioneers once again playing Syracuse 5:00 on Saturday live on ESPN2. We'll have full coverage on InsideTheCross.com. But we want to wish you guys the best of luck this weekend, and thank you for coming on. Inside the Cross Podcast.